The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We started a new series, as you well know, last week, and about can you handle the truth? And that's the topic of this series that we're doing right now. And let's look at John chapter 1, verse 14, which I believe depicts so powerfully what we want to discuss. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, 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 full of grace and truth. He didn't have an appendage. He didn't just words on a scroll in the temple. He was grace. In truth, we use these words so flippantly and it's such a common part of our vocabulary, but He was filled with those truths of grace and truth. And He was maligned, He was insulted, He was ultimately taken to Calvary's tree and murdered for who He was. You know, in a very real sense, you know, there's people in this world, people that you know who are really good people. You know, just some really good people. You know, people that if you knew them, you would love them. There was one of my seminary professors, and he was teaching a course, and he said the very first day in class, he said, "If you knew me, you would love me." And I thought, wow, what a statement to make. I mean, how could somebody make a statement like that? And it so challenged me that I made it a point within the next couple of days to get an appointment with him, and I sat down in his office, and I told him, I said, "I'm here because of what you said in class. You said if I knew you, I would love you." And you know, I got to be friends with that guy, and I've got to tell you, I love that man. He was filled with a measure of grace and truth. He was just a good guy, and he was truthful, and he cared about people. He cared about the students. He wanted us to understand the Word of God, and he worked so hard to make sure that we knew those things. And he was so right. I just had a relationship with him that I didn't have with any other professors at the seminary because he was a loving man. Well, you wouldn't hurt someone like that. I mean, you do everything you could to protect him. And Jesus, in a comparison that fails all comparisons, was someone that if he was standing here, he would say, "If you knew me, you would love me. You would love me. And you'd get to know me." Just like I went and found out about that professor. And you'd want to know the truth about him. Not what somebody would say. Not what some other student might tell me. Not what someone might write. But to know him firsthand. And that's what we want to do. We want to know Christ firsthand. Not as some historical figure. Not as some religious icon. Not as something that we've heard about since we've been children, but to really know Him. And that's what we want to do. We want to know the truth about the truth. We want to understand it. We want to experience it. Just like my seminary professor, but in a greater way, we want to experience Him. So, when James is here, he brought up some topics that for some of you were new, for some of you you'd heard before. And so we're going to kind of delve into some of those things during this series. I'll try to expound on some of the things that I thought that he said that were very profound. So we're going to cover things like, what did Jesus say? What do we believe about the scriptures? Can we let go of wrong beliefs? Are we willing to do that? Can we get to the place where we'll start praising God instead of worrying about confession all the time? And can we believe that God's done it all? Can we really, really believe that? So that's our plan. So we're going to continue today. Last week we spoke about, can you handle the truth about what Jesus did? Today we're going to continue that by saying, can you handle the truth instead of deception? Can you handle the truth instead of deception? And let's look at the book of Romans, chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, for our sermon text for today. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you learn. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. The NAS says unsuspecting people, and I really like that word. They deceive the minds of unsuspecting people. Lies and deception began a long time ago, back in the garden. That's the first thing we see took place. Lies and deceptions. And they've spread like a cancer and have attached themselves and have been gnawing away at the truth ever since. And so whenever we began to talk about the truth, we realized that lies and deceptions will always attack the truth to try to bring it down. If there were, listen to this, if there were no absolute truth, there could be no lie. See, the lie always goes against the truth. I told you, I think a couple of weeks ago, if I didn't tell you, I certainly thought it, that movie with Jack Nicholson where he was talking to the female romantic interest in the movie, and she said that he had lied to her. And he said, I've always given you some version of the truth. You know, and I think that's so theologically correct. You know, we have a version of the truth. You know that there are not any real versions of the truth? There's only the truth. You know, there's nothing you can do to change the truth. There's nothing. It's impossible to change the truth. What happens is that we are deceived about the truth and we don't know the truth. Let me give you a good example. For countless eons, men believed that the earth was flat. They believed it. They orchestrated their lives around it. Sailing vessels would only go so far, they wouldn't go past the horizon because of fear of going over the edge of the earth. Well, with the brave souls who didn't believe that and thought that they could go further, and the early scientists like Leonardo da Vinci and some others who were thinkers of their days, they thought that the world was round. And as it turns out, they were wrong. It really is flat. No, it really is round. And thank goodness for the space telescopes that we have that have turned around and looked at the globe, and we can see that we're on a spinning globe, not on a flat place. But you see how you can be really persuaded that something is the way that it is and be deceived and not know the truth? Lies are a manipulation of truth. Deception is to wander out of the way. If you were to look at the original language, it means just to wander out of the way. You ever been walking in the woods, or maybe you've gone to a strange city and you're shopping or you're hunting and you're not paying attention, and you turn around and you say, where am I? You know, how did I get here? How do I get out of here? I remember when Pat and I were newlyweds, and we were living in Houston, and we went to downtown Houston, And we pulled into this giant parking garage. Make the parking garages of the New Orleans area, you know, look like a carport. I mean, this is a really one of the first big parking garages I'd ever been in. So we pulled in and we got the little ticket, parked the car, went about our business, shopping, got back, we found the garage, went back in, we drove out. And I knew that Main Street, which is the street that we'd come in on, led right back to the interstate, which would get us back to Clear Lake City where we lived. And it was only a block away. So I drove out of the garage and I recognized, you know, that the exit to the garage. We drove a block and Main Street wasn't there. I thought, gee, well, maybe it was two blocks. So I drove two blocks. The Main Street wasn't there. And then I realized that something was really, really wrong. And then we're in downtown Houston, traffic everywhere. We're trying to figure out what's going on. We actually turned around, went back to the garage, and discovered the truth. That parking garage took up a whole city block and had four entrances on four different streets, and they were all identical. And to somebody who me knew, I didn't know. I never heard of a garage having four distinct entrances and exits that were exactly the same. See, I was deceived. Didn't intend to be, but I was deceived. And thank goodness we didn't go too far until we realized our mistake and were able to find our way back home, which we eventually did. Now, there are always motives behind lies and deceptions. All right, some of them are to entrap you and to lead you astray. Some lies and deceptions are to condemn you in a spiritual way and to weaken your faith. Some are to enlist you and to control you and to make you a disciple of deception. Okay? So, when I was a brand new Christian, the only Bible I had was a little New Testament called Good News for Modern Man. I never had a Bible before that I'd ever read. And I was reading that New Testament, and I was working for Pat's brother. Believe it or not, it's part of my testimony. I had all this education and all this computer expertise. I couldn't find a job. Nowhere. Nobody would hire me. So I was working for a brother in a convenience store, working the night shift, and sitting there selling the things that you sell in the convenience store. Well, I was reading my little Bible and listening to the radio, tried to listen to religious broadcasts. Had a guy on the radio who really sounded good. I mean, he knew a lot more than I did. And he said, if you will write to me or contact me, I will send you some literature. And I thought, well, this would be cool. So I contacted them, and they sent me some literature. And I got the literature, and the first little booklet I got said, proof in the Bible that there is no hell. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. And the author of that book happened to be Gardner Ten Armstrong. I picked up that book, and I read it, and I want to tell you, he used scripture to prove that there was no hell. But what I decided to do was to check him out. I checked out the scriptures. And you know what I found out? He took little pieces from here, little pieces from there. And Reggie, you know about context, and you're a big believer in context. It was all out of context. And as a new believer, probably not any older than 2, maybe 3 months in the kingdom, if it was that old, I discovered that there was deception and lies in that book that would have led me astray had I not looked for the truth. So it's my responsibility and your responsibility to look for the truth and to not believe everything that you hear. Just because someone's on the radio or the television or stands in this pulpit doesn't mean that they're always telling the truth. And it's incumbent upon you to know the truth so that when you hear deceptions and lies that you'll know what it is, or to be willing to study out what you hear to see if it is true. And we're going to talk about that in some great detail here this morning. So, not all lies and deceptions are intentional. Believers sometimes pass on things as true, which they believe to be true, which is not true. You got that? Believers will pass on things to be true, which are not true, quite unintentionally. I've unfortunately been able to do that and discovered it and corrected it. What always worries me when I stand up here as your pastor and is preaching the word, it always worries me that I'm saying something that is not true. And Pat can tell you, I work very, very hard to make sure that the things I bring to you are as true as I can possibly find them to be. All right? But there are unbelievers who will deceive you because they don't know the truth. They just don't know. When I was a senior at the University of Houston, and I was in a classroom, it was the final class I had to take in order to graduate from the University of Houston, and it was a freshman course that I had failed to take, and it was an ancient literature course. And that professor, in a room full of freshmen and me, began to prove that the scriptures were like any other piece of ancient literature. It was just like any other. And he began to use it, use illustrations and examples. And I was an unbeliever. And I heard that, and I believed what he said, because he was a lot smarter than I was. He had a PhD, for goodness sakes. And I knew someone, another professor at the that I had done some computer work for, and I went to see him. His name was Dr. James Nolan. And I went to see Dr. Nolan, and I asked him if we could have breakfast together, and we did. And I sat down with him, and I asked him about what I had just learned. And the reason I asked him was because he had degrees from Yale, Emory, New York University, Brown University. I mean, just a brilliant guy. But he was also an elder in his church. So I knew that he could tell me something about spiritual things. So I went to see him, and I said, Dr. Nolan, I related to him what happened in the class. And I said, what do you believe about the Bible? And he asked me, he says, what do you believe? And I said, I believe it's a bunch of fictitious stuff put together by men who are trying to control the masses. He said, that's exactly the truth. And then I asked him the big question. I said, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? He said, what do you believe? I said, I believe he was a guy who just had a great idea, just kind of a teacher of some sort, and just lived and he died. He probably was a good guy, but that's all there is. He said, that's absolutely true. And you know what? I believed it. And I believed it because somebody in authority, very well educated, who was my friend, who was an elder in his church, confirmed that. I spent the next year becoming an evangelist against Christianity. I came home, I told Pat, she remembers the day I came home, I said, Pat, you know all the stuff about the Bible of Jesus Christ, just a bunch of phony baloney. Now, we weren't going to church. I mean, we weren't involved. But that's what I did. I believed the lie. Did that guy tell me that to hurt me? I don't know. Did he hurt me? Actually, he did the best favor for me a man has ever done. See, because at that time, I was at the top of my stride. I not only was graduated from the University of Houston, I had a great job. I had a skill that very few people in the world had at that time as a computer programmer. I had received accommodations and recognition from NASA for some of the work I had done. You know, I was making more money than I thought ever existed in the world. And in all of my wisdom and superiority and all of the great things that I had, I became an evangelist against Jesus Christ. I can't tell you for sure exactly to the day, but I think it was a year later. I was broke. I was in debt. My marriage was in trouble. I'd lost my job. I'd lost my house. I'd lost everything. And I was sitting on a Monday night kneeling in my daughter's bedroom, who was 5 years old, maybe six at the time. Four? I don't remember that part of it. So desperate. And I didn't know how to pray. I just cried. And on Tuesday, I drove to Picayune, Mississippi to try to make some money and was introduced to the truth, Jesus Christ. Almost like a Paul in a Damascus Road experience. And I discovered the truth about Jesus Christ. That day, not only did I believe in Jesus Christ, but I believed in everything in this book. As James Walter Hickman taught me, I believe everything from the front where it says Holy Bible to the back where it says genuine leather. You know, I just believe it all, you know. The whole thing. I changed. Now, why am I telling you all these stories? I want to tell you these stories because you may not remember the sermon, the scriptures that I'm going to give you, but you'll remember my stories because they brought me to the truth. And we need to know the truth and get rid of the deceptions and lies, some of which we've received purposefully, someone trying to hurt us, or things that we just received that are just flat wrong. Okay? So, what I want us to do, the first thing I want us to do in this road to can you handle the truth instead of deception? You hear something, a phone or something just went off? Oh, it's my iPad.
Hello.
And I am so glad I put a reminder on my iPad of something I wanted to do. I promised someone that I'd pray for them today at church. So let's just take a parenthetical interruption. This guy's name is Justin Lewis. His dad happens to be the guy that we get our little pens from, you know, our little red and white pens that we have. And I ordered some new pens because we're just about out. And I called his dad. His dad's name's Roy. And I've talked to him over the phone for about 10 years now is that we've been having these pens. And he told me about his son, who is an Iraq veteran, who is in severe combat situations. And he told me the struggle that his son has had since he's come back, that he's doing okay, but that he told me about one firefight that his son was in where his best friend was standing right next to him and an enemy shell hit his friend right in the head. He said, and he was, he said the firefight was so heavy he couldn't even stop to help his friend if he could have. And there were other men that were killed that day, and he's just been in heavy combat. And he told me that how this is something that he has to deal with. And so I asked him for his son's name, and I said that we would pray for him today. So would you join me in praying for Justin?
We had a request from Joe to pray for Mark as well.
Okay. We'll do that a little later, Ms. Pat. I just want to, just right now, just pray for Justin. Father, I'm glad that through the miracle of my little iPad here that you reminded me of my commitment to pray for Justin. And Lord, I know that his dad is a believer. It's one of your children. And I suspect that Justin is too. And certainly he's heard the truth from his dad, a leader in his church. And Father, whatever things that Justin experienced in the battlefields of Iraq, would you remove those things from his mind right now? The things that hurt him, the loss of his friends, the loss of his brothers in combat. And would you this day, wherever Justin is, Lord, we may never see him eyeball to eyeball, but would you touch this young man and remove the pain and the suffering that he has experienced so that we could be a free country. Lord, I ask you to encourage him to let the truth, as we've been speaking about right now, to let that truth just envelop Justin and to remove the pain and the sorrow. Lord, I know that you can do that. We can speak words of truth from this building to Justin up in Little Rock, Arkansas, and you can touch him right now. Father, I pray for him, and Lord, I pray for all the other vets from Iraq and Afghanistan and wherever they are, those who suffered so much in combat, that you would be with them even now. Renew their minds. Bless them. for having taken care of us. And we pray together in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Thank you for joining me with that. I know that it meant a lot to his dad when I told him we'd pray. And hopefully, he may be watching us on the internet. If you are, I know it'll be a blessing to him. And if not, I'll tell him to get the video and to watch it. I know it'll be an encouragement to him, to his family, and to his son. So, what I want to talk about in the sermon, unless that was a sermon, maybe I've already preached. Have I preached enough? I need to stop? Yeah, do you want to hear some more? Okay. Okay. The first thing you need to do is you need to admit having been deceived about the truth. You have to admit it. You have to be vulnerable and say, the possibility is there that I've been deceived. Okay, that's the very first step. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from the sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you received a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. We've all been contaminated in one shape, form, or another. Okay, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe a preacher, maybe a book you read, maybe something you took out of context, and that deception is there, and it causes us to believe things that aren't true. Admission that we have error in our belief system is the first step. It takes courage to admit you might be wrong. It just takes hard-headedness to believe you're right. And I know about hard-headedness because I am one. My dad told me all my life when he was around, man, you got a head like a brick. And then he would speak to me in Italian, say, stedugu Jesu, means you got a head like a pumpkin. So I had a brick pumpkin head. I mean, my dad did that to me all the time. It takes courage to admit that you're wrong about something. It takes courage to be willing to change the way that you think. You know, we talk about this all the time. You know, the church needs to repent. And everybody thinks, get the sackcloth and ashes out, roll around on the floor, cry and lament. That won't do you a lick of good. It won't do you any good. Repentance, I keep telling you this, and boy, I hope you get it. It means it changes your thinking. It takes courage to change the way that you think about something. If you change the way that you think, you'll change the things that you believe. If you change the things you believe, you'll change the way you act. You'll have a transformation in your life about things. It takes courage. It takes courage to trust God to lead you to the truth. To depend upon Him and the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I believe that You will lead me to the truth. If I am wrong, I trust You to reveal that to me, and I am willing to follow the truth. Who is You, Lord Jesus? I'm willing to do that. There are fundamental issues that you must get right. It's something you've got to get them right, and it's a shame that we've been robbed of this truth. You must get salvation in Christ alone right. You got to get that one right. If you have Christ and anything, you've been deceived. It's not Christ in your behavior. It's not Christ in your money. It's not Christ in memorizing the Bible or multiplicity of things that people tell you. It's Christ in Christ alone. You've got to get that right. I've preached some sermons about that over the years, and you've got to get that one right. You've got to get it right about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been rejected. We don't want to believe that this empowerment by the Holy Spirit. Do you know that Jesus told born-again believers to not do anything until they will receive power from on high? Now, I want to tell you something. If that was true for those men and women who knew Jesus face to face, and He told them not to do anything until they received the power of the Holy Spirit, which came on the day of Pentecost, how much more so do we need it today? And I'm going to tell you a truth. And I encourage you to look for yourself. If you can find This is the way I searched out the truth about the Holy Spirit. Is it in the Scriptures? Is there a thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That's number one. Secondly, can you find anything in the Bible that tells you that it ended? And the third thing is, what does it mean to you? That's the trip I took. And I encourage you to do the same. All right? You need to get this right, that we are free from law. Why is it important if you understand that you're free from the law? Because as long as you believe that you're under the law, you will live under bondage. You will be fearful. And next week, I'm going to talk about this more in great detail. You will live under the bondage of sin, and you won't be able to get free because the law puts you in bondage. All right? That's what it does. And you, if you're a believer, you're not under the law. You've got to get those things right. There's some others, but those are fundamental things that I believe that you need to get right. Well, I'll tell you what. There are some other issues that no one fully understands. You don't have to get these right. Christ's return. You don't have to get it right. Jesus didn't get it. They asked him, when are you coming back? I don't know. Father knows. He didn't tell me. I can't tell you. I don't know. What are you doing sitting around here worried about that? Get out there and do what I told you to do. Go tell somebody about me. That's my St. Angelo's paraphrase of that passage of Scripture. I don't know. You don't have to get the right. You know, is it pre-trib, post-trib, middle of the trib, beginning of the trib, millennium, amillennium, no millennium? But what's a millennium? You don't have to get that right. It doesn't matter. It's going to happen whether you want it to happen or not. You know, that's why you've heard me say, I've coined the phrase, it's my phrase, I'm a pan-millennialist. It's going to pan out all right. I don't worry about that. You don't have to get it right about what heaven's going to be like. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to figure out whether it's going to be clouds and harps, golden streets, whether it's real or imaginary or figurative. You know, you don't have to worry about any of that. You're going to heaven, whatever it is, it'll be. All right? You can have your opinions, and I will never, ever have an argument with you about that. If you ask me my opinion, I'll tell you my opinion, but I reserve the right to be wrong. I'm telling you right front. You ask me any of those things, I'll tell you if you want me to, I'll give you my opinion, but I'm going to tell you right now, I reserve the right to be wrong. Okay? Because I don't know. Neither does anybody else. You're never going to learn everything in this book. You're not going to do it. You're not going to figure it all out. You're never going to figure it all out. You'll figure out what the Holy Spirit wants you to know, and that's all you're going to figure out.
That's it.
You're not going to get it. But some of the things just doesn't matter. Well, was Noah really swallowed by a whale? Does it say he was swallowed by a whale? No, it doesn't. Swallowed by a giant fish. All I know, it was big enough to swallow him. And I know it was a fish, because it said it's a fish. What kind of fish? I don't know. It might have been a giant guppy. I don't know. And it doesn't matter. I don't need to know all that. You know. So the things that you don't need to know about, and you don't need to worry about them. But there's some things you need to know, which I just went through. But these other things, they're okay, but you don't need to know them. Miss Pat.
You said Noah, and you meant Jonah.
Did I say Noah?
Yes.
You see what I'm telling you? You see how easy that can happen? How many of you knew I made a mistake? Raise your hands. The rest of you are in trouble with me, all right? It was a trick, all right, to trick myself. I guess that proved my point, doesn't it? You know that there are areas that you have in your life that you're refusing to give up. Some of you know. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You have areas in your life and you're refusing to give them up. You need to let them go. You need to let them go. You know what keeps you from doing it? You know what I thought was interesting? It says a different gospel from the one you accepted. And it says you put up with it easily enough. Like, why would you do that? You know, in Galatians, go read the book of Galatians. You know, where he said words I wouldn't use. He called them a bunch of idiots. He said, dear idiots of Galatia. That's what it means, literally. You know, you idiots. Who cast a spell on you that you would believe a lie? You know, why did you leave and depart from the truth that I brought to you? So those things that you know you're being stedigoyedo, pokeheaded about, hard-headed about, pride will keep you from changing. Get rid of the pride. Fear of leaving your old traditions will keep you from changing. Well, preacher, I know we're in a non-denominational church here, and I know you got all this stuff, but I've been believing this way since I was a boy. My mama believed that way. My mama's mama believed that way, and I ain't changing. Well, you're probably right. If that's your attitude about it, be willing to change. Here's the other one. Rejection of other people will keep you from changing. What would people think of me if I changed? That keeps people from changing. So, you can hold on to deception, but it's robbing you of the truth. Second thing I want to talk to you about. You ask God to reveal to you what needs to be corrected. Be willing to go to Father and ask Him to reveal to you what you need to know. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Now this is our boast. Our consciences testify that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. For we do not write you anything, I like this, you can't understand, read and understand. And I hope that as you understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Truth is established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And that you would know the truth. That's what this passage of Scripture is about. It said you looked at us, you knew us, you saw what we were doing. We didn't give you anything so difficult that you have to have a degree in theology to figure out. We just told you the truth. So how do you know who you can trust? All right? Here's a couple of things. Those whose lives and the fruit of their lives line up with the Scripture. They said, we have conducted ourselves with integrity and godly sincerity. Do the people who tell you that stuff, do they line up with that particular passage? Or they have integrity and godly sincerity? Are they people you can trust? All right? Do they meet the requirements? And this is a little different twist on something, but do they meet the requirements of an elder? Now, the reason I selected that for you is because not that you have to have the office in a church of being an elder or a deacon, but that you have those principles at work in your life. You know, is this someone who's not in it for the money who's telling you these things? Is this someone whose family is in order? You know, they're good moms or a good dad, you know? Are they good children? Are they lining up with the whole list of things that it talks about an elder must be? They can't be a drunkard or addicted to stuff. Not, you know, this whole litany of things. A one-woman man, a guy who's not looking for every skirt that walks by, you know, or woman on the same side of that. So is this person have integrity? Do they know the truth? Or are they living a life that can be examined? You know, we just, and by the way, I don't have a political axe in this thing, but it's really interesting. One of the presidential candidates, Herman Cain, who looks like a really cool guy and a really great guy, and now these accusations have come up again about him for sexual, harassment, you know. Now, he's denied it, says it's not true, and I'm going to take him at his word. So far as I know, Herman Cain is a believer, so either lies about him, and I don't know what's going on. But if any of that would prove to be true, then you've got to give second pause to it, all right? And I pray that it's not true, and I believe that it's not true, okay? I just choose to do that. I am an eternal optimist. I don't believe anything. Let me tell you what. Anybody comes to me and tells me anything about you, you can write this down. I will not condemn you. I will not believe it about you. The only way I believe anything about someone is after someone, whoever brings the the accusation against you, you know the first thing I say? Have you talked to them about this? If they say no, I say, go talk to them. They say, yeah, I have, and I couldn't get anywhere. I say, let's go together.
Amen.
I'm going together because I want to find out because I'm not going to believe it. And only when I hear it from your lips that you did it will I believe it. That's just the way I am. As I choose to be that way. And I encourage you to be the same way. Don't believe everything you hear. I had more things said about me that aren't true. I could fill up a room with them. Some of them were true, but not all of them. All right. These people who are teaching you these things, are they doing it to control you or to set you free? Is what they're telling you setting your spirit free to worship God and get closer to God? Or is it some kind of way closing you in and wrapping you up in this teaching that you may have been exposed to? The truth always pierces the darkness. And I know that because Jesus came. He's the way, the truth, and the life, all right? He came. He says that the darkness couldn't overpower him. He pierced the darkness, okay? I've asked someone to share something with us. And camera guys, I'm getting ready to move. I'm going to move down here in front. And Janine, come up here for a minute. She said something to me last week that I just appreciated so much. I wrote her an email and asked her to be prepared. Unfortunately, she didn't get my email because she's been a busy girl. But she said that she would take in just a few minutes and just tell you what she told me last week.
Let the words that come out of my mouth glorify you, Father.
Amen. Amen.
Just as a brief intro to me, I was brought up Catholic, and I walked in the charismatic renewal, and that's when I began to really read the Word, and that's what took me out of the Catholic Church, is because I learned that Jesus died once for all time. And I accepted that back in spring semester at college as a sophomore. But I didn't have the full light. I didn't walk in the full truth. For about the last 2 years, Errol and I have been going to a Bible study with one of the congregants from my old church, and he has been opening my eyes, helping me to really see what Scripture says. And we've debated because, you know, I had to hold on to what I'd been taught in all the different churches that I had attended. Well, when James came, the bushel was thrust off of my head vehemently. The light is shining, and I have just been like New Year's Day, 4th of July, Independence Day, Chinese New Year, you name it, the sparklers, the fireworks, they have just been popping. Everything is so new. Everything is so bright and real. And the truth of God, all those scriptures that have been hidden inside, they're just flowing out of me. I will be, somebody will say three words and the rest of it will come along. You know, it's like it's right there. It's bouncing. It's just jumping out. And last Sunday I had to come up and tell Morris what has been going on. It's like I know there is no doubt in my heart that I trusted Christ's substitutionary act for me. He died for my sins. I know that. I trusted that back in, I'm sorry, my sorority house on Laramie Street in Manhattan, Kansas, with a woman who was leading me through Scripture in the dining room of my sorority house. I know that that's when it was.
Amen.
But I know that it became, God, I hate to say this, it became 100% real to me in my grasping hold of it. Then I came up to Morris and I told him this scripture. And this was kind of applied to me, and this is Janine paraphrase. Oh, you foolish woman, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was public portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?
Hallelujah.
Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And I have to stand here and say that for decades, I did it on my strength. And over the last couple of years, and really even more so now since I listened to James, I'm not doing anything. I am not changing me. And my children look at me strangely. My coworkers look at me strangely. Stuff that used to ruffle the duck's feather just flow off.
Hallelujah.
You know, I used to be the kind of person all my little ducks had to be in a row or I freaked. There is so much going on in my life right now that I have absolutely no control over. And when it starts to bug me, I say, God, I don't know what to do. And I just sit back and say, yes, Lord, I'll wait on you.
Amen.
I'll listen. I'm done doing it on my own.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for grace and truth.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Woo. Wow. Hallelujah. I knew you would enjoy hearing that testimony. Thank you, Janine, for just doing it at the spur of the moment for me. And that's what the truth will do for you. Just set you free and sheds those things away from you. I ask God to show you the truth and compare it to what you believe. Okay? For instance, you know, we've been talking about that you're not under the law. All right? That, you know, it's under Christ, you're not under the law. You need to verify what I said by the scriptures. Don't take my word for it. And I'm not trying to manipulate you by saying that. I'm trying to exhort you and encourage you to do it. Go look for yourselves. I've given you truckloads of scriptures in this past couple of weeks. And if you need more, I'll give you more. I'll help direct you so that you can find out for yourself. And then when you see it, ask yourself this question: why am I having trouble believing this? Why am I having trouble believing this? Be willing to admit you might be wrong. And then when you come to God that way, open and honest, the Holy Spirit will teach you the truth that you need to know. See, I can preach till I'm blue in the face. It won't do a bit of good. It only does good when you receive it for yourself. When you open yourself up to truth. And let the truth come in. We've got all these walls we've built around us. All the people have built walls around us. And we need to tear them down. And I know some of you have. And I'm not, this is not a sermon to condemn you. This is a sermon to instruct you, to help you in some areas. Because I know that some of the things that have been being said, particularly since James was here, you know, he may have said the same thing I said, but said it in a different way that you said, oh, my gosh, you know. And so you really need to do that, all right? The third thing is you accept the truth and you reject the deception, all right? This is the process. You accept the truth and you reject the deception. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 23. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours. You see the personal, you know, it's getting personal now. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ. You are of Christ. And Christ is of God. So it's coming down. The truth is being laid at your doorstep. You know, they were saying, oh, we were Paul, we were apostles, you know, we were all of these guys. And he said, and they said, no. You are of Christ. I told you last week, the epicenter of all eternity is Christ and Christ alone. Jesus confronted the religious zealots of his day. The wisdom of the world always enslaves you. The morality of the world enslaves you. It has people enslaved today, telling people the things that they can do. The morality of the world says abortion is okay, homosexuality is okay, sexual relations and not being married is okay, living together is okay. That's all things from the world. That's the world's morality. It's not God's morality. The greed of the world. Can I just have some more? You know what? America's God is its greed. We owe somewhere, I can't even keep track, last I heard, $15 trillion. And like a giant ship that it takes a long time to slow it down, before they can, if they slow down the economy of the United States, the debt will exceed $17 trillion before they can slow it down. It's become a god. Spending way above what we should. And I'm not going to preach that sermon today, but I want you to know that's the greed of the world that has permeated believers. The father of this world is Satan, and people have embraced him as their father. And his ways and his teachings and his resources, that will enslave you. And here's the thing that's scary. It enslaves believers who begin to believe the lie. Just because it's on a television program, just because somebody you trust says it's okay, if it's not revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, then it's not okay. People believe all kinds of foolish things that are just not true. There was a couple that church I went to many years ago, a really beautiful, you know, storybook-looking couple, and they were relatively newlyweds, had been married, I think, like less than 2 years, and they had both been married before and divorced. Somebody told them that what they should do is divorce their present wives and husband and go marry their other old husbands and wives. We showed them in the Bible where it says not to do that. Specifically, it says not to do that. You know what? They did it anyway. They got divorced. Whether or not they remarried the other ones, I don't know, because they left the church. That was the end of it. I didn't see them anymore. Willing to believe a lie. Taking the world's value systems and even taking religious value systems that are wrong and trying to apply them. This is what Jesus said to the religious traditions of men in his day. Luke chapter 11, verse 46. Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." How many times have people in the pulpit that put burdens on people and won't do a thing to help them? Why, we need $1,000. How many of you can give $1,000 to get done what I need to get done? You will be blessed by giving me $1,000. Manipulation and control. You need to steer away from that like a plague. Amen. You give not out of necessity or grudgingly, we give out of cheerful heart. That's what the scripture says. Put burdens on people. Well, you must do this. Well, in order to belong to our church, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name only. Or you need to be baptized in my church. There were churches that I went to that wouldn't receive baptism from another church because it wasn't done in their church. I went to a church that believed that they could trace their lineage for baptism all the way back to John the Baptist. How idiotic and ignorant can you be to believe that you could do that? It's impossible. It can't be done. And people believe that. Put burdens on people. Try to weigh you down. This is the new teaching, the new covenant way of living. This is what it said. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. See somebody doing something they shouldn't do? You don't say, point your finger at them and condemn them. You just go to them and say, try to help them. Be a part of their lives. Gently. And it says, I think it's interesting, parenthetically, it says, but watch yourselves or you also may be tempted. Be a little careful when you're dealing with that, it's saying. Here's the part I want you to see. Carry each other's burdens. See what Jesus was saying? You won't help. You put burdens on people. You won't help them. You won't lift a finger to help them. New Testament says this. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Deceive themselves. Deceivers did not believe Jesus, and they didn't receive the truth when he was standing right there before him. I told you that scripture last week, and Pat mentioned it, where Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you believe that in them you have your life. He said, I'm telling you, they speak of me, and you will not receive me. The scriptures give life. Scriptures give liberty. That's what the New Testament is designed to do. Jesus came to set people free. How much clearer does it need to be when Jesus read that scripture from Isaiah, and he sat down and he said, this has been fulfilled in your presence this very day. I didn't come to put people in captivity, but to set people free. And the Old Testament psalmist says, like a bird set free out of the snare of a fowler or a bird trapper. You're set free. Christ came to set us free. Not to hold us in bondage. And that's why it's so incumbent upon us to know the truth. Let me ask you this question. And I'm going to close in just a minute. Are you in bondage to traditions and deceptions? Are they holding on to you and you just won't turn them loose? Really need to pray about that. Really do. Are you willing to reject those traditions and receive the truth? You willing to do that? If you are, the Holy Spirit will tell you what you need to do. He'll reveal these things to you. What do? This is what you do. You believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And screen everything you believe according to that. When the revelation is in there, when you're willing to let the Holy Spirit reveal it, when you pick up this book and you begin to read it, it's like if someone was to take... And you know when you're reading something or in a room and a different color light comes on, a blue light or a red light, and it shades everything, it'll shade everything you read. And you'll say, oh my gosh, how could I have been so wrong? How could I have been so wrong? The things I'm talking about, beloved, as I said earlier, as I started this off, is not the things that are trivial, but the things that are really important. Your salvation, the Holy Spirit, and your position of liberty from the law. I think those are fundamental things. If you get that right, it'll liberate you. And I've got to say this in one last thing, and I'll close with this. I'm not talking about you not being saved and you know that these things are keeping you from God. I'm just telling you what they're doing. They're just keeping you from the joy of the Lord. That's what they're really doing. Keeping you from enjoying your relationship with God. Keeping you from enjoying your relationship in the scriptures. Letting yourself be free. Free to serve God without any... It's like walking on a bridge with all the security in the world that the bridge won't fall. And that's the liberty that Christ gives us. We don't have to worry about the bridge falling. If you're doing something, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. He'll reveal the truth. Remember, we're not in the behavior modification business. We're in the revelation of Jesus Christ's business. That's the good news James spoke about, that Paul spoke about, that Jesus spoke about, and that I'm talking about. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the fact that you are not a truth, but the truth. I'm thankful, Lord, that you're not a way, but the way. And thank you, Lord, that you're not a life, but the only life. Lord, would you let these words pierce our soul and our spirit and our minds and bring us to the place that you want us to be, that we might see the scripture fulfilled in our lives, that the captives have been set free. You came to set us free, Lord. Set us free. Anything that we have that's we've been deceived, Lord, peel it off of us, Lord, as you would peel an onion, Lord. Just peel it off of us, Lord, that we might know you and know the truth about who you are. We thank you, Father, and we pray and we believe together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.